The following program contains mature subject matter. It is designed to glorify Jesus Christ and His Word. So if you would, grab a Bible and a pen, and let's see what the King has to say. Did the King leave us a perfect book? Yes, sir. It's a 1611 authorized King James Bible.
Bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. Lord, you created me to bring forth fruit. You are the vine, I am your branch. Help me abide in you and bring forth fruit. Lord, help me abide in you and bring forth much fruit. Lord, help me abide in you and bring forth much fruit.
Welcome to the broadcast. I am David Hoffman, and I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church of Rensselaer and the First Baptist Church of Lowell. Well, I'm going to keep going on the topic that I mentioned last week, go a little further into this detail. I would dare say that it's very pertinent. Let's see, a couple newsworthy events. A professor at Baymont, Texas, is suing her former college for being reprimanded for not attending a graphic performance by a homosexual activist dancer. Linda Usman, a Christian, is suing Lamar University after she was disciplined for not attending the performance, which included obscene language and sexual gestures. Linda says the university also retaliated against her for filing a discrimination claim against her. She no longer teaches at Lamar. Now, that's what you call trying to cram your perverted beliefs down the throats of people. If this university had a Christian speaker, and they forced all the professors to go, don't you know they would be screaming? This is the typical one-sided, narrow-minded bigots that's running the universities of America. And they are so bigoted against the Bible, they are Bible phobics. They're so Bible phobics, they don't even want to see the Ten Commandments. Now, another thing, we have a fella in the White House, some think he's a Christian. And recently, Barry Obama told religious leaders at a White House prayer breakfast that Easter is a time to remember the tremendous sacrifice that led up to that day and all that Christ endured. But he also said Jesus experienced doubt and fear. Are you serious? The God who spoke this world into existence experienced doubt and fear. Isaiah wrote that Jesus set his face like a flint to go to Calvary. Doubt and fear. You better try reading the Bible for a change. You know, instead of just peeking at it, if you do that. President Obama said, for like us, Jesus knew doubt, like us, Jesus knew fear. No, he didn't. He did not. No scripture. Mr. Obama added, we all have experiences that shake our faith. Okay, I can agree with that. Yeah, we'll have some times. There are times where we have questions for God's plan relative to us. What does he mean by God? Does he mean Allah? Allah is not the God of the Bible. No, it's not their way of saying God. It's not the God of the Bible. They're not the same. The God of the Bible had a son. And you ask any Muslim if Allah had a son, and they will say no. They're not the same. Well, he said, but that's precisely when we should remember Christ's own doubts and eventually his own triumph. He had no doubts. He had no fear. You see? And so, somebody's not reading much Bible. They're not believing it. Probably too busy being a Bible phobe, so that they don't want anybody to be all discouraged, you know, all this other kind of stuff. I mean, what a mess. What a mess. And I mean, so much can be said. Well, I have a song, and then we'll get into our lesson for today.
You search my heart and know my ways. Nothing within from you. When far away my mind is known, my thoughts do not escape you.
My steps are guided by your hand. You know when I rest and when I stand. Each breath I take is by your command. Your love will always hold me, guide, heal, and enfold me. Praise your name, praise your holy name, eternal Father, creator of heaven and earth, who art Jehovah.
Comes, where can I hide? Night is light to you. Your presence shines as bright as day. Your spirit is around me.
If I should ride the wings of dawn, or go to the depths of the sea,
and if I rise to the highest heaven, there your love will hold me, guide me and uphold me.
Praise your name, praise your holy name, eternal Father, creator of heaven and earth, who art Jehovah, Holy One of Israel, mighty God, the great I am, you are my Lord.
Okay, last week I answered the question or the topic, can a Christian receive the mark of the beast? I went through a mysterious doctrine in the New Testament called the rapture. So this week, let's look at the idea, what is the mark of the beast? What is it? Is it a computer chip? that the government can put in your body and then tell you to kill somebody, like Timothy McVeigh claimed that the military did to him? Who knows? But we'll look at this idea, the mark of the beast, and see clearly what the Bible says. Now, the mark of the beast, I'll tell you right up front here, is different than the number of the beast. And that's different than the name of the beast. That's interesting. It's called a beast. The reason why the Bible uses a beast is because that is government policy. Okay, that's how governments run. Daniel 7, verse 17, beast of prey were used to describe kings and kingdoms. Now, this is how all governments run. You know, if you think that you're living with freedom in America, no, just challenge any governmental structure and you will see the fangs come out and the violence. The kingdom of heaven operates by violence. Beast of prey. The one will be the most violent will be the Antichrist himself. Okay, portrayed as a leopard. The mark on the beast, a leopard, is a black spot, a rosetta in the shape of a rosetta. So the mark of the beast is discussed and given in Revelation on several places. In Revelation 13, 14, 15, 16, 19, and 21 mentions it. In 13, 16, it's called a mark. 17, it's called the mark. In 14, 19, it's called his mark. In his forehead or in his hand. Okay, his mark. In 14:11, it's called the mark of his name. In 15:2, it's called his mark. 16:2, the mark of the beast. Revelation 19:20, the mark of the beast. Revelation 20, verse 4, his mark. So, there, that's personally about him, the Antichrist. Now, in Revelation 13, verse 16, the Bible, especially the King James Bible, is such a phenomenal book. In Revelation chapter 13, you have 13 chapters. 13 is, bad luck number. Actually, it's Satan's number. Number for rebellion. Okay, and here in Revelation 13, you have 18 verses. 18, 6 plus 6 plus 6. And in there you find that Revelation 13, verse 17 says, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Three separate things. Okay, the buying and selling is not just those that have the mark, but also those that have the name of the beast or the number of his name. So three ways a person can buy or sell in the tribulation is the mark, the name, or the number. Now the number, most people will say the mark is the number, but that's not the case. The number in Revelation 13:18 is clearly 666. Now, I don't know if you recognize it, but 666 is quite prevalent in these days. This was predicted in around 90 AD in the Bible that man will be controlled economically with a number, 666. When you go to the grocery store, if you look on the UPC barcode, the UPC barcode is divided into two parts by three markers. The two thin lines at the front and in the middle and at the end are the three markers. And those three markers always represent or resemble the number six. Hence, you have six in the front, six in the middle, six at the end. Now, it's also interesting that when you get on your computer and go on the internet, you will have www as a prefix of the internet domain names. The Hebrew equivalent of the English letter W is the Vav, and the numeric value is 6. A transliteration of www or Vav is 666. Now you're starting to see the monster drink, a little insignia all over the place, little three squiggly lines. You know what those lines are? Three of them. Is that a coincidence? Do you know what color they are? Is that a coincidence? No, it's not. There's no coincidence in it. Is it a coincidence that the makers of that energy drink advertises to unleash the beast? Revelation 13. What are those three squiggly lines? Those three squiggly lines is how the Jews write the number 666 in Hebrew. Now, if you look at many logos, international corporation logos, you will find 666 embedded in the insignia of the company. I can show you these all over the place. Wherever you travel, you will see 666 embedded in the Disney word for Disney Company. Now, are you being conditioned? Are people being conditioned for this? Yes, we're being conditioned for it. Many international companies will put 666 in their insignia. You ever see a triangle or pyramid shape? Like Adobe Print Shop, and they will have squiggly lines in the shape of a triangle. That is three sixes interwoven. And you can see it almost everywhere if you want to spend some time in looking at it. Now, Revelation chapter 13 provides five key clues to the interpretation of the mark of the beast. The name of the beast. There is a name. The number representing his name. The number of the beast. The number of a man. And the number is 666. Okay, the mark of the beast will be like a branded or burnt on. It will probably be the number of the beast or 666 according to Clarence Larkin. But I don't know if that's certain. It seems to be something totally different. Now, what is the purpose of the mark of the beast? Now, one purpose is control. Okay, that's the purpose of the number, control. The purpose of the name is control. This is why America is no longer the land of the free. It's the land of the surveillance. Cameras everywhere taking your picture. You see? And so this is why the government wants to get you and I chipped. You see? It's control. It's control is what it's all about. But what is the real purpose of the mark of the beast? Where this would be your real fanatical followers of the Antichrist. Revelation 14, verse 9. The real purpose of the mark of the beast, I'll read it 14:9 here shortly, is a mark of allegiance and worship of the Antichrist. He will call himself God. Probably refer him to himself as the Most Holy Father. I mean, what kind of an arrogant, sacrilegious, religious fellow would dare call himself Most Holy Father? Jesus Christ referred to the Heavenly Father to be Holy Father one time in the Bible, and it's only found once. And when some clown walking around on this planet calls himself Most, he is putting himself above the God of the Bible. How arrogant can one be? How foolish can people be to follow an arrogant, prideful, self-serving fool to call himself that? The purpose of the mark of the beast is a mark of allegiance and worship of the Antichrist. And it is a rejection of the holy God of the Bible. Because the receiver of the mark of the beast, you must first worship the beast. Revelation 14, verse 9, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark. 14:11, Revelation. Who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark. It's like X marks the spot. Revelation 16:2, which had the mark of the beast upon them which worshipped his image. Revelation 19 verse 20. Them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Image, violation of the second of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. So people who have a lot of images have already let their guard down to get a step closer to the idea of worshiping the Antichrist. Revelation 20 verse 4, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark. Now there's only one verse that connects the buying and selling with the mark. But there are many verses that connect the mark to worship. You see, the number and the name 666 will be used to control people. But the mark is something that's pledging allegiance or worship. Now you can see that governments are trying to get more and more control over their people. Now the way the governments will do this is how will they do this? If you look at history, you know. If you don't look at history, you don't know. If you read your Bible, you know that governing structures are described to be beast of prey. If you want to call it democracy or republic or communism or fascism or Nazism or corporatism, doesn't matter what you call it. Oligarchy, monarchy, dictatorship, they're all beasts of prey. They operate by violence. Now, when a governing structure wants to take away the liberty and control people more, what do they do? Behind the scenes, they will cause chaos. They will have a situation, or they will create a crisis. Take a building down here or there, getting people alarmed. You have a mass murderer kill a bunch of people, and then the cry for gun control steps in. Pretend that some fellows flew airplanes into a building rather than a governing structure staging the event. This is an age-old pattern. It's called order out of chaos, where you create the chaos and the people panic. And the people cry out for, help me, help me. Go to the government. And the government takes care of the chaos. They create the order. Adolf Hitler did this. And I don't believe that things have gotten any better since then. This is if you read your Bible. This is if you're a Bible believer. You see, in communist countries, the fangs are displayed prominently. In democratic-minded more countries, the fangs are clothed in public policy and a PR program. But if you question the public policy, and if you question the public relations, then the curtain will be pulled back and you will see the fangs. And you will see the beast of prey that operates by violence. And so, what is the mark of the beast? It is different than the number. It is different than the name. Someone in type portraying the Antichrist. When the Antichrist shows up, do you know who the biggest promoter of him will be? Professing Christians. Christian conservatives. Christian fundamentalists will be the biggest promoters of the Antichrist. The Christian fundamentalist and the conservative faction of Judaism of the Lord's Day are the ones who instigated the crucifixion. The Christian colleges are solidly against the pure Word of God, the King James Bible. This same crowd would have been in the mob scene crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, the mark of the beast, it's an amazing thing. Do you see it everywhere as far as the number? Do you see that people are being conditioned? It's interesting, the WWW, the Vav in Hebrew, it means hook. That's what it means, hook. Are you being deceptively hooked into the 666 system? Or are these examples that I gave earlier about WWW and the barcode and the green logo, the monster drink, is conditioning people? Oh, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Satan leaves his mark everywhere he goes. Like a dog marking his territory, Satan will mark his territory. You can see it in many enigmas that corporations will use. You'll see it in their fancy little commercials. Subliminally, sometimes put right in front of you, disguised. You see, that's why he's the subtle, most subtle, the subtle of all the beast. And his intent is to get worship. Satan wants worship. So the tribulation time period, what will be used to control people? Three separate things. The name, the number is 666, and the mark will be the most fanatical of the ones who will go against God, who will defy God, who will not even want to hear God's name mentioned like in Romans 1. And will be fanatical followers and worshipers of Satan, and he brands them. He brands them to be his followers, and they will boldly and proudly proclaim their faith. Can you imagine Satan followers who brag about their God who's going to end up in hell with them, but yet Christians don't speak up for their God? And so, back to the question at the beginning of last week, can a Christian receive the mark of the beast? Well, the answer, if we're going to use the word Christian to define a born-again believer, the answer is no. I certainly hope and pray that you are a true born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in closing, I would pray that you would study the Bible of God's choice.